This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1487. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded November 19th, English from Bangladesh, Pakistan, Sierra Leone, Tibet. Time signals from Brazil and China. DX from Cameroon, Colombia, India, Kurdistan, PNG, St. Helena, Solomon Islands, Uganda. Collisions from Canada and Florida. New schedules from China, Sudan. Future plans for Cuba, Sri Lanka, USA. And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Here's another report of Bangladesh Betar on 4750 from Max van Arnhem in the Netherlands via DSWC IDX window. His report merged with another from Bernard Meal in France, so we're not sure just which of them heard which item. In any event, Bangladesh Betar was heard from 1409 to 1612 UT sign-off, several dates in early November. There was news in English starting at 1432 since their clock was 2 minutes slow. Other English features for the rest of that half hour, then mostly in Bengali. And after the time pips at 16 UT, more talk until sign-off. The level of interference from China varies greatly from day to day. By the way, Bangladesh Betar is celebrating its 70th anniversary on the 16th of December, according to an item via Alakesh Gupta in the DX Listening Digest group. They're already running a series about the anniversary every Friday at 4.05 p.m. local time, which would be 0905 UT, as long as they're on UT plus 7 in Bangladesh. Long-haul trans-equatorial FM DX from the Caribbean to southern Brazil has been very active the last few weeks. Samuel Cássio Martins in São Paulo State was hearing a relay of BBC World Service in English on 92.1 megahertz, an unlisted frequency, both on October 28th and November 4th. As late as 0240 UT and as early as midnight 20. He contacted BBC and they confirmed that this frequency is coming from a new relay in Barbados. In Ohio, José C. Pereira reports hearing Radio Itatiaia in Belo Horizonte, Brazil on 5970, starting at 2305 UT, November 15th, with a Sunday sports program about, of course, futebol. He says a very good signal on 5970. The new time signal station in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, PPE, is reported by a couple of participants in the Mare D expedition in Michigan, November 6th and 7th, around 2230 UT. Kenneth Fidozicki says it was under WWV, easy to hear when that station was not airing a tone. Listen for Observatorio Nacional, along with the time announcements and the pips. Also reported by Don Moore, with time pips and announcements under WWV. Another anniversary, which might not have been noticed had not Ivo Ivanov of Radio Bulgaria pointed out, November 18th was the 35th anniversary of the transmitter site near Plovdiv at Podarsko of Radio Bulgaria, originally Radio Sofia, of course. He sent along some pictures of their huge curtain arrays. Although this report is over 2 months old now, originating with Zevere Shenge in Benue State, Nigeria, via the November issue of World DX Club Contact. Reminder that there is an active shortwave station, at least we hope there still is, in Cameroon on 6005. CRTV was heard during the local afternoons in early September around 1410 and 1450 UT in French and English. That's the regional station at Buea. You will not find it listed in any of the major shortwave references. Now I've heard everything. Two CBC stations interfering with each other on the same frequency. not only CKZU Vancouver on 6160, but from before 14 UT for 1 hour. Radio Canada International is also on that frequency via a non-directional 100-kilowatt relay in Chinese via South Korea. But if we're hearing it in Oklahoma, I'm sure it's quite capable of interfering with CKZU in British Columbia itself. Didn't RCI's frequency planners think this might present a problem? As we mentioned last week, the Arabic service from HCJB relayed via Sackville at 21 to 2145 UT on 12025 for the first part of November was instead occupied by a film music loop from VT Communications. Roger Stubbe got it corrected as of November 11th and ultimately found out that VT was not to blame. It was in fact a problem with scheduling at the master control room in Montreal of RCI feeding the wrong program to Sackville. Hiroshi and S. Hasegawa in Japan say the schedule for CHBC in China, China Huayi Broadcasting, as monitored November 11th and 12th, 2230 to 10 UT on 6185 and 10 to 13 on 5050. Although the latter collides with another Chinese station, Beibu Bay Radio from Guangxi. From the Meridi expedition in Michigan, Ken Zichy reports that at the same time he was hearing the time signals from Brazil on 10 megahertz, he was also hearing a CWID from BPM, the time signal station in China. CWID during the 29th minute, mixing with the others. I heard Marfil Estéreo Colombia on 5910, November 15th at midnight 35, with an ID immediately after I tuned in, because they do it so frequently. That's helpful for DX listeners. Trouble is, they're on the air rather sporadically. That's a shame, because it so happens, consulting this season's schedules, 5910 is pretty clear of other stations, except for 01 to 03 UT when Romania is using it. It should be available for Colombia between 23 and 12, the nighttime hours. Brandon Jordan forwards a Reuters item from Havana, November 11th. Cuba orders extreme measures to cut energy use. All state enterprises must do this through the end of the year in hopes of avoiding dreaded blackouts that plague the country since the collapse of the Soviet Union. Government officials have been warned that the island is facing a critical energy shortage that requires closing of non-essential factories and workshops and shutting down of air conditioners and refrigerators not needed to preserve food and medicine. Brandon says, is it extreme enough to halt the jamming? Doubtful. Keith Perron replies, you said it. If anything, jamming could even be increased. A cargo ship that left the Tianjin port in China in August has two containers filled with radio transmitting equipment donated by the Chinese government. And surely it has arrived by now, I think. So it's just a matter of time, if not already, before they get this up and running. Thanks to Maruf Dewan, we finally have the new B09 transmission schedule of Radio Havana, Cuba, which more or less matches what we have been forced to observe only by monitoring for the past 3 weeks or so. English supposedly starts at 0100 UT on 6,000 kilohertz only. However, that's one of the many anomalies. Steve Cross in Oklahoma says on UT November 12th at 0100, on 6,000 kilohertz, they were welcoming us to the second hour of English programming. He says this is the third time I've heard that since the daylight shifting time switch. It seems they're starting English on 6,000 some nights an hour earlier at midnight, which makes the DX show run at 37 minutes past even-numbered UT hours instead of odd-numbered hours. For example, 0237 instead of 137. They seem to straighten it up by 0500, he says, not sure where the lost or added hour goes. And it's a toss-up where I'll find English from 01 to 05. Sometimes it's on 6140. There could be another explanation unless we've actually heard English before 0100. They're simply playing the tapes in reverse order, the second hour first. The phone ringing and the background problem on Radio Havana seemed to have been fixed. But November 18th at 0403, Ken Zeke in Michigan was hearing it again behind Ed Newman. And if it's not the phone ringing, it's hammering sounds, which I heard the night before. Or rather, November 16th at 0707. That's when one frequency remained on the air in English past the supposed closing time, 6060. The seldom heard regional station at Kohima of All India Radio on 4850 was active sporadically several evenings there, mornings here, in the first part of November. Apparently, the reason was the Akashvani Club Day celebrated at that station on November 6th, according to a press report via Alakesh Gupta, DX India Yahoo Group. Ron Howard in California was monitoring it on a number of days. However, on the 18th, he says it was not on the air during random checks between 1305 and 1540 UT. Bruce Fisher in New York says the All India Radio Urdu service from Bengaluru transmitter on 6155 is well heard between midnight 35 and 0255 UT. Well, it's aimed at Pakistan toward the north-northwest, so it's also aimed approximately at North America, actually just east of North America out in the Atlantic, but we also hear it in Oklahoma. My assumptions last week about how World of Radio broadcasts would work out on IRRS, or International Public Access Radio, turned out to be incorrect. The latest info we have now is that the Saturday morning broadcast at 09 UT on 9510 will be available for us only on the first 3 weeks of December. However, the evening broadcast, Saturdays at 1900 UT, should be on almost every week, we hope, and there's a new frequency for it, 6170. IRRS and I would be interested in your reports. Preliminarily, it already happened last week. It appears to be quite an improvement over 7290. In DSWC IDX window, Anker Peterson in Denmark reports on the radio voice of Kurdistan, believed to broadcast from Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq. He heard it November 2nd from 0325 to 0405 on 3931.83. At first it was in Kurdish with no jamming, but when Farsi started at 0400, so did the jamming. Also an evening broadcast November 7th until sign-off at 1430 was on a slightly different frequency, 3931.3, and the jamming lasted 2 minutes longer. Noel Green in England reports that Radio Pakistan has changed frequency for the English broadcast at 1600, which is only 10 minutes long, not 15. It's 7535, replacing 7510 due to interference. Parallel, listed as 15100, which he has not been able to hear. The news bulletin had been at 15 UT during daylight shifting time. English news is once again heard at 11 UT for 5 minutes on 17700 instead of at 1000. Martin Groot in the Netherlands reports One Talk Radio Light, that difficult to DX missionary station in Papua New Guinea, on 7324.95, November 13th at 0739 to 0802. It seemed to be in English with an interview and praise songs, very slightly off frequency with a wobbly carrier. But he says it was a clear channel after BBC Arabic closed at 0659. Looking through the 7325 listings, however, I see that you can forget about hearing that station later, as China Radio International is using the frequency straight through from 10 until midnight UT, except maybe for a few transmission breaks just before the top of the hour. And indeed, that's all I could hear when I checked at 1421. 9840 should be the best frequency in English from Voice of Russia to North America until closed down at 0700. However, incredibly, the Russians are also using the same frequency for a Radio Rossi transmission in Russian from a site near Moscow between 0500 and 0800, and that was the one on top when I checked November 17th at 0638. Of course, the transmission of VOR in English is from Far East Russia, intended for the West Coast, where we hope the problem is not quite so acute. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1487. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, which may be used for PayPal contributions. Our thanks this week for financial support from Tim Hendel in Alabama, who sent a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Not only does World of Radio come to you absolutely free, and it is also a station-supported public service program, not just a listener-supported program, but so does DX Listening Digest on the web, where you can read much more about stories we cover and others we have no time for at worldofradio.com. The latest issue of DXLD, number 9081, has a roundup of reports about Radio St. Helena Day, November 14th. Generally, reception was not very good in most places, quite spotty. In North America, most people, if they heard it at all, heard it better earlier in the afternoon than the last sesquihour, when supposedly the antenna was aimed our way. There were also complaints about the modulation quality compared to previous years. With such a marginal signal, you really need all the antenna gain and receiver gain you can possibly manage. However, there were some reports of relatively good reception in South Asia. Mick Delmage in Alberta was able to hear most of it thanks to a log periodic antenna and recorded the entire broadcast. He says the North American portion was by far the worst reception and suffered from the usual distortion as in the past. An email to the station did not get answered, and the problem was not fixed as it had been in the past. RF getting back into the transmitter when their antenna beam was directly on the utility transmission tower at the site. He says best reception probably was between 22 to Europe and 23, when many Japanese listeners reported very good reception, and they received several music requests. He says, by far the worst reception in recent memory of Radio St. Helena Day, but by far not a complete loss. In Noticias de X, Jorge Trinado in Spain says he had best reception during the broadcast toward India rather than toward Europe. In Shortwave Bulletin, Anders Hultqvist in Sweden says, you could not say they had any hi-fi quality, especially the speech was lousy with canned modulation. The beam for the Americas could be heard very well. On some occasions, reception from Europe has held up well into the night, as high as 12 megahertz. That's enough to hear Cotton Tree News, the service from Sierra Leone and back to that country from a transmitter in the UK, at 0730 to 08 UT on 11875. I was listening to it on November 14th. It cut on and off the air abruptly without any real opening or closing, and the accents were extremely heavy. You couldn't even be sure they were speaking English, and they may well not have been during the entire half hour. Also heard the next day by Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania. Solomon Islands Broadcasting Service, Walt Somenu has been visiting New Zealand during a cruise and talked with Adrian Sainsbury. It was Adrian himself who was able to tweak the Solomon transmitter from 5018 back to 5020. It's the 9 megahertz transmitter tuned down to 5 megahertz, a very old unit. However, it's not exactly on 5020 in shortwave bulletin. Thomas Nielsen in Sweden measured it on 5019.962 on November 7th at 13:30. In English, I suppose they were relaying the BBC as usual at that hour. Also heard by Anders Hultqvist in Sweden, November 4th at 13:25 on exactly the same frequency to three decimal places. Jai Saktivel in India reports that IBC Tamil's broadcasts have been cancelled. As of November 4th, they announced they're no longer being heard at midnight UT to 01 on 6045. They did, however, say they would start broadcasting 1 hour in the evenings, but so far that is not confirmed. 7 years ago, they did use 17485 at 1200 UT. Kai Ludwig says their website seems to be broken and their audio stream does not work. However, they are still being heard on Hotbird satellite. The U.S.-backed Sudan radio service is providing good reception off the back from Portugal on 17745. It's on the air between 15 and 17 UT. It's partly in Arabic, partly in a number of local languages, and partly in English. One schedule we see shows the first half hour at 1500 is in English, but we've heard other languages then too. Bill Carney found the timetable on their website, showing that at 17 to 18 they switched to 9840. Also in the morning at 04 to 05 on 7280, and 05 to 06 on 13720. They don't show the sites, but we know that they're all United Arab Emirates except for Portugal on 17745. And there's another service, especially for Darfur, Sunday through Thursdays only at 16 to 17 on 11785, which is via South Africa. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal hears the English program from PBS Lhasa Tibet, which I think they're still calling Holy Tibet, between 16:30 and 17 UT, as on November 15th on 4905 and 5240. We have two not totally definite reports of Radio Uganda on 4976, presumed by Steve George in Massachusetts, Coomer DX, November 15th at 2004 UT, a strong signal but distorted audio, local language talk and music. No ID was heard and it went off in mid-song at 2146. And probably the only other active shortwave frequency from Radio Uganda, 7194.98. Martin Hrod in Netherlands tells us, November 13th, it was very tentative at 0557 to 614. The carrier was already on at tune-in, hints of talk, but too weak for details. Sunrise at Kampala was 0331, which is about 3.5 hours earlier than at his location. According to Africa List, reception in Europe is very unlikely, but perhaps not totally impossible in the winter. Kai Ludwig has gleaned some interesting info from the fiscal 2010 congressional budget request by the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors. The four Brown Boveri transmitters from Delano installed in 1986 have been moved to Tinang, Philippines, where two are already operational. The former Delano rigs replace old transmitters from 1969. No word about what will happen to the remaining equipment at Delano, but considering its age, he suspects the scrapyard is most likely. Equipment from Briège, Morocco, another site closed down, is considered for reuse elsewhere. Modulators already used in Thailand. The modification of a former Belize medium-wave transmitter for tropical band operation from Marathon is still in the pipeline. And note this in particular. VOA English is supposed to be cut back further from 14 hours a day to 9. Evangelist Tony Alamo has finally been sentenced. This story from AP on the 13th of November. Sentenced to 175 years in prison for taking underage girls across state lines for sex, effectively punishing him for the rest of his life, for molesting children he took as brides in his ministry. During the hearing, some of his victims testified about how their families were destroyed while the evangelist took over their lives. He's 75 years old, convicted in July of a 10-count federal indictment. Judge Harry F. Barnes said Alamo used his status as a father figure and pastor and threatened the girls with the loss of their salvation. 3 days later, WINB proved that there is at least one shortwave station where it does not matter if you've been convicted of child sexual abuse and sentenced to 175 years, you may still pretend to evangelize on the air. November 16th at 16:03, the mumblings of Bernie Lazar Hoffman, also known as Tony Alamo, on 13570. At least the signal was quite distorted. Another distorted station, but only briefly, was WRMI. Modulation tubes were replaced and back to normal good audio as of November 16th on 9955. As of November 15th, I've now confirmed there is at least one time when DXing with Cumbre is actually broadcast on shortwave from WHRI, Sunday at 1200 UT on 9410, the same frequency where on weekdays you may hear BBC Mundo in Spanish. Tom Lucy of the FCC confirms that WHRA in Maine is off the air permanently. Angel 5 is now the designation for one of four transmitters in South Carolina at WHRI. Considering the dozen transmitters running simultaneously at Okeechobee, it's remarkable how little interaction we hear among them from WYFR. However, for three nights in a row so far, on 9355, I've clearly heard camping in English underneath the Italian broadcast. And it is not a voiceover translation. From FM Media by Bruce Elving, a selected AM happening. WGN 720 Chicago has turned off its IBOC, so-called HD noise, because of concerns it was causing interference. He says probably the sports and talk format did not benefit from HD. We can only hope it is off permanently. Some more very sad news this week. Harry Lee Helms, Jr. passed away on Sunday, November 15th. He was 57. We got the notice from his first cousin and good friend, Cheryl Irvin Hill. Part of what she says, he has bravely fought an aggressive cancer for the last several years. For the past few months, he and his wife, Di, had lived in his hometown of Fort Mill, South Carolina, surrounded and loved by his extended family, old friends, and his dogs and cats. I asked Harry how I could be useful to him in the final days, so he sent me a short list of friends to contact when the end came. Remember him now as you knew him in the years past. He would have me remind you to recognize your life's passion and let it guide you always. Harry was one of a kind. We will miss him greatly. His blog remains up, and we hope it will stay up. It's harryhelmsblog.blogspot.com. Among other things, Harry was an author with a deep interest in radio. One of his books was Inside the Shadow Government, as Phil Refuse reminds us. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued November 17th. AN Candace's peaking at 10 and 3 on November 20th, but soon down to 5 and 2. Solar flux dropping from 78 on the 20th to a trough of 70 November 27th to December 7th. And that's World of Radio 1487. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.